Okay, so then Krishna Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarna 2, Bhagavan, Superintendents of the Purusha Avatars. Anuchedas 2 to 5. Adhikarna, Prakashita. Having described the non-difference of the Paramatma from Bhagavan, by elucidating on the sameness of the Sarup, the current Adhikarna elaborates on the different Purusha forms with details on their actions, location, and Sarup in order to enunciate Bhagavan's superintendence of the Purusha avatars. So we've established that they are non-different because it's the same Sarup. It's the same transcendental form as Krishna and that. But it doesn't mention about, you know, what are the differences in moods or what form they take. Because when it says Sarup, means that'll include the form, this and that, but Sarup means what is his nature. You know, just like the Sarup of the Jiva is servant, so the Sarup of Krishna, you know, he is the, you know, Supreme Lord, the Supreme Majority, the origin of all these different aspects. So in that way, in Sarup, they're the same. But in form and mood or location or this, then we'll find differences. Right? So that's the one, because otherwise one can get confused that, well, the form's different, so it's different, or the mood's different, it's different, but the Sarup is the same. So still the same transcendental position, still the same transcendental personality. Right? So, yeah. And we see Brahman is the effulgence of the Sarup. Right? So it all goes back to the Sarup. Right? After stating that the Sarupa Paramatma is the same as that of Bhagavan, Sutta Goswami details on the actions and locations of the Purusha forms in the next two verses. From these verses, the author concludes that the Purusha is a form of Bhagavan because both manifest pure sattva and because both have non-difference in terms of Shakti and Sarup. But because the Purusha forms control the actions of creation and destruction, it is established that Bhagavan, Vasudeva, is different from the Purusha forms, as he is transcendental to such actions. Bhagavan is realized only by the devotional expression by his unalloyed devotees. Therefore, as an amsha of Bhagavan, the Paramatma forms are always dependent and superintended by him. So you get the aspect of that the difference in actions are dealing with the material world, though indirectly, but Krishna never even does that. Right, so they are an aspect of him. So he is his supreme will, and then in these forms it is carried out. Right? Yeah. Anucheda 2. Having described Bhagavan and Paramatma in general, the Paramatma forms are described in three verses, with many details concerning form, actions, and location.
Right. When we say Purusha, we always refer to Paramatma features?
Yeah, it means the Purusha avatars are the Paramatmas of the material world. So in other words, when we say Paramatmas, we mean these three. You know, generally we mean Kirodaksha, because he's the one who sits in the heart. But he's controlling the energies and action, like in consideration with the individual living entity. Right? Then when you see that same thing, but the whole universe, that is Garbhodaksha Vishnu. And when it's the same thing, but all the universes, that's Karana Daksha Vishnu. So the Purusha means the Paramatma means these three. Like that. Because, you know, he's Bhagavan, but because of the moods and difference and all that, then we make a distinction. So in other words, these forms can be appreciated and understood to some degree, even if that devotion isn't trying for pure devotion. Right? It means you can have some faith, some piety, some good association. You've studied the scriptures and you can understand Paramatma's there, that how much you understand of him and that. But you won't understand the Bhagavan feature, that he is the, you know, original Lord, the Lord of all the energy, highest possessor of all energies and all that. That may not be understood. That's only through devotion. Otherwise, they just see him as God. He's in control. He runs things and all that. Right? So that's taken for a given. So that we can see, is on one level, be a mistake that's made. You know, it's just like, let us say we are, you know, organizing a service and all that. right? Which some devotees have had. And so there's so many discussions on this and that and so many things, which is, you know, necessary for organizing this service. But at the same time is, what are the, you know, we're doing it for Krishna, but there may not be any considerations of how it pleases Krishna. Right? And if you say, you know, well, I mean, you know, what's the purpose and all that, it's for, you know, Krishna, it's kind of like, yeah, of course it's for Krishna. But it's more of a off-the-cuff kind of, it's for Krishna. Not a Brajbasi, it's for Krishna. So for the Brajbasis, they're doing everything, but it's always for Krishna. So that means there's a difference between the Paramatma feature and the other. So why are you going, because he's the supreme, you have to do this and that. So it'll be based on the feature of Paramatma that the service is being done in its active form. If you stop, think, discuss, devotees will take it back to Bhagavan, because that's their goal, is to serve Krishna in that form. Does that make sense? But in mentality, much of the time we only get into that. Does that make sense? And yeah.
I guess the difficulty is with what you described, the mentality, although action is there, but mentality, it's not that obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And with the example of Brijbasis, they have a natural developed relationship with Krishna. Mm-hmm. So he's always a person.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever they do, it is already, even before the action,
mm-hmm.
it is already connected to him.
Yes.
But for us, we have to go through those steps, because
mm-hmm.
we don't, I mean, whether we do or not, that's mm-hmm. not the,
mm-hmm.
that's not the topic.
Yes.
But we have to, it's not spontaneous yet.
No.
So then we have to go through the intellectual process
mm-hmm.
and then connect. Otherwise, it remains like, you know, up in the air, like you said. Yeah, of course it is for Krishna, but we don't think that way, because we actually concentrated on the action itself.
And means our involvement in the action, but means how we are controlling the action rather than we are the instruments in the action. So that's where weaknesses will come in. So, you know, it's a matter of then Krishna's God, and that's why it's being done, rather than it's being done because we want to please him. It means if you start the discussion, devotees will always come to that, because that's been the association, that's what they've been given, and that's ultimately what we're there. So these other aspects aren't a philosophical difference. It's just a matter of the purity. You know, the heart is getting, you know, and as time goes, it gets more and more purified. But it wouldn't be like, let's say you're talking to someone from a Vaikuntha Sampradaya, where then they're going to be, it's about serving God. So, you know, so the thing is they, in Vaikuntha, they're serving Bhagavan, but there's kind of the flavor that of Paramatma. You know, he's Bhagavan, he's the person, he has all the energies, but it's also he's in control, he's all these and that. He's not dealing with the material energy. So in that way, he's not the Paramatma feature there. So, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you're going to get these kind of subtleties and flavor. So the thing is in the Brajvasis, then you're going to have the aspect that it's just for him as a person, what would please him as a person, not what would please him as God. You know? But it's a natural step, as Prabhupada says, we're naturally going to go through these stages, that we're going to see that Krishna is everything and things like that, and then we see him as he's the you know, how he controls all this, or, you know, because much of the time devotees are appreciating the aspect so much of the Brahman aspect because of our being very careful of the Mayavads, you know, philosophy, then, you know, which is good. But at the same time, it's not necessarily that you see everything is Krishna, and so therefore that goes back to how he controls it, and that's how then Krishna is the, you know, superintendent of all all these features like that. So then that helps. What you see is that when the sages start, when the discussions start, then it always starts on that level. And then how he's controlling, and then like this. Individual prayers might be in different places, but when you get very much into the philosophy, then they'll always start there. And we even see when Krishna talks to the gopis, he starts there. How, you know, you're never separated from me because I'm everything. You know, I'm everything, I'm everywhere. And so therefore, at all times, you can always be with me. Right? And so, they are. So, he's inspiring them that they're going to be in that position, that they're always going to be remembering Krishna, everything's going to remind, but it still doesn't mean that the flavor won't be that of Vipralamba. Because even when Krishna, you know, it mentions he doesn't leave Vrindavan, so he's there in that Bhava Sarup. So they're always absorbed in him, they're always seeing Krishna, they're always in Krishna's presence, but it has a different flavor than when they see him personally standing in front of them. Because that will be the Sambho, while the other will be the Vipalamba. So being with Krishna is something you can do anywhere, at any time, in any place. But there'll be difference in flavor. Right? Does that make sense? That's all. So it's not more than that. Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure what happened there, but... So, does that make sense? So it's subtle. It's a matter of the words, the understandings, and then there's the subtleties of the tastes. Or the something over there. Something there?
No, it's
a mosquito. Oh, you thought it was a mosquito. Or it is a mosquito.
It is.
Oh. So, no matter where you go, the turtle world is still... Yeah, problems say you let the demigods. You go to the heavenly planets, but there's still problems. You know, the demons come. You know, Bali Mars comes, takes over heavenly planets, kicks out Indra.
No mosquitoes.
Hmm.
No mosquitoes.
No, you have demons that ride in on, you know, lions and tigers and bears and you know, take over everything and throw you out. So at least these guys come. You know, they're a little bit. No, it's just, Prabhupada's point is no matter where you go in the material world, there's always going to be an anxiety. There's always going to be a problem. It's never, that aspect will never go away because you're in the material world. That's really good. Okay, so it's good?
Yeah, this the Paramatma feature, as you explained it, it's more subtle than we actually try to make it. Because we try to simplify it for ourselves.
Yes.
But if we see the worship of anybody in the world, even religious people, their concept of God is always in connection to the material world. That's the first level. Then you explain the sampradayas. It's Bhagavan, but they see him through the feature of Paramatma. So he's not connected to the... He's completely in Vaikuntha. He's Vaikuntha...
He's aloof.
Yeah, he's completely aloof. But still that flavor is there.
Yes.
And then we have Krishna, who is enjoying his pastimes eternally in Golok, and he has like zero connection with the material world, which is so the difficulty in understanding and in worshipping that form of Braja Krishna is that it is given right in the beginning. But then, as you mentioned, we have to go through the process of studying the Brahman feature, the Paramatma feature, and then Bhagavan feature, and different forms of Bhagavan. But then devotees, you know, in their mind, we're given that. This is discarded. This is like We don't want to deal with that. It's mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. So without understanding those two, we can't actually fully understand the Braja Krishna.
Yeah.
So this becomes the difficulty.
Yes. If they stick and focus on that, and they're always absorbed in Krishna on that platform, it itself is complete because all the other aspects are already there in Krishna. You know, just like worship the demigods is already included if you worship Krishna. So we're only mentioning it where we get distracted. It's just the anartas that are there that we're not focusing on Krishna like that. But if we continue and don't get distracted, then you can. You just by that process alone, you can get there. We see the examples of it. The gopis are like that and others. So it can be done. And so that aspect is there. So according to the individual, then they can be absorbed in these things as much as possible. But they have to be very careful to not make too much distinction between Paramatma and Bhagavan, because it's Sarup, they're the same person. It's just Krishna takes care of that. He expands and takes care of them. So it's just like you're sitting here and you remember that, you know, something has to be done downstairs, but you don't, you're already busy. You just expand yourself, go downstairs and take care of it. It's you taking care. But the point is that expansion is dependent and superintended by yourself. You know what I'm saying? It's you, but it's an aspect, a feature of you who's dependent upon, you know, you in that original position. So Krishna and Braj is there, and then all these other aspects are all going out to attend to all these different features of the appreciation of the living entities of him. Since he is everything, then different individuals are going to appreciate a different aspect of that everything. You know, so then you're going okay, slowly getting better. You're going to therefore then it's just a matter of it's not different, but it's different. In other words, the flavor is different and all that. In other words, you appreciate an aspect, that's because it's there in Krishna. Right? Because Krishna has two legs and two arms, therefore his expansion can do stuff with legs and arms. You know? It's not when you expand yourself and you're a blob of, you know, jello or something like that, or armadillo, or, you know, things like that. You know. Does that make sense? So one has to be careful there. Is that? Yeah. So it means they're non-different. So, but there is a difference, but there's a non-difference. So there is the oneness and there is the difference, but you have to know where the difference is not in the sarup. So the difference is in the form, the action, and location, but not in sarup. So it's just as you go through it, just if by studying these things, it makes it easier. One, the main thing about studying is you're absorbed in Krishna. So even if you just stick to Bhagavad Gita and study that and don't study anything else, then you'll come to that platform because everything's in Gita. When it says in the Vedic, ABCs doesn't mean, you know, basic, very beginning level of details. It means it only has the essential eternal principles in it without much detail. Then Bhagavatam gives more detail, and then Chaitanya Charitamrita will give even finer than that. So it's on the top, it's principles. So all the principles are there, it's just not as much detail. Some areas there's a lot of detail, like when he gets into the universal form and all that, he has three chapters on that. Well, you won't see that much detail generally in anywhere else. You know, in the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, they'll refer to it. You have one or two points, but, you know, because that's already been discussed in the Gita. Yeah. So, it's an advantage because you're always hearing and chanting. So, the Acharyas have written these things so that these things will become very clear. As long as there's no problems, you know, devotees are just absorbed in trying to hear and chant about Krishna and do their, you know, service and you know, in that kind of context, then it's very nice. But if they get distracted by all these things, you know, your social, political, economic kind of distractions, you know, or you know, the distractions of you know, religiosity, but based on piety rather than on dharma, you know, swadharma, like this, these kind of things, or the impersonal, or just sense gratification, self-centered. You know, when people say, no, but we're all equal, this, that, they're not so much talking about something for everyone, they're talking about what we're going to get from it. You know what I'm saying? Most people who talk about equality are talking about what they'll get from this equality. Not about that it's just a philosophy and a lifestyle, so therefore that's just the way it is. Does that make sense? So it'll be that aspect. It's actually, that's the fun part about the modern thing, is that it's being presented as if it's pranamoy, but it's actually anamoy. Because it makes that group, the self, self-centered, and then everybody else is obligated to take care. But because it's their right, rather than it's your obligation. When you're talking about your obligation, that's pranamoy. When you're talking about it's just the other person's right, then for you it may be pranamoy, but for them it's anamoy. Because they're not seeing the, where's their obligation? Zero. Simply, everybody else has an obligation to them, and they don't have to do anything. You know? And that's all right if you're a child, you know, like that. That's okay. You know, or somebody's sick, so they get full attention and all that. But you see, as soon as they're better, then they're taking care the other way. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing. So you have to see that it all goes, that it all goes together like that. But so it, so if you get into the analyzation, then it becomes more appreciated, the finer points to avoid so you don't get distracted. That's the whole thing, is that in these things, one, you're seeing more the glories of Krishna, and by associating with the scriptures and you're associating with the acharyas, then you're, how you say, coming closer to Krishna by that, by being inspired. At the same time, as then you see the finer points, how you can be more careful in the prosecution of your own devotional service, and so that you avoid any anartas that'll get in the way, any distractions. Does that make sense? So it would be, it's nice. It means by hearing these things, it's there. And as we are discussing, as we go, more we go through these technical work, because the technical philosophy is being described in the Sandarbha, right? Because Jiva Goswami had a hearing from, you know, from Rupa and Sanatan and the others, Gopal Bhatta and that, because I think he's basically, I think he's the, maybe the youngest of the Goswamis, right? Because he's given as the next in line. You have Rupa Goswami, Sanatan, like that. Then the next in the parampara is Jiva. Then after that, then Krishna Das, like this, and goes down. So then, being junior, he's, what he's heard from them, he's in a analytical way has documented it. So he's not going to say anything they have not said. It's just that the reason for a commentary is not to say something that the person didn't say, it's to say things that we don't understand about what they said. Right? It's not that, oh, he's wrong here, it should be like this. That's a modern academic kind of thing. This is, Prabhupada said this in these simple words, but that means these 10 pages of explanation. But you thought it was just something simple. You know, and so for your realization, that simpleness, if that's enough that keeps you busy, like the devotees, I remember it's just first joined and this and that, a few months, and they're always absorbed. Those few simple points that completely absorbs their consciousness, so that's perfection. Because they're not dealing with much. They only see those things. Everything else they don't notice. But as time goes, you become more mature and more sophisticated in your application, so you're able to see more situations in which Krishna can be served, more considerations, and you're able to apply the Krishna consciousness into those further situations. And so then that becomes the main thing. Otherwise, then what happens is that we don't apply ourselves in that way, you know, to be able to analyze how Krishna consciousness is functioning. If Krishna is everything, then that means everything's functioning because of him. And so anything that is working in the world is because it's Krishna. But we can either analyze that through our own philosophy, you know, or as we move through the world by the logika, you know, knowledge, you know, just the common knowledge, you hear here and there, someone gives a nice quote, someone points something out, and then you see that and bring that to extend already how you're looking at everything being Krishna. Right? And so it helps. It's not a problem. But it's supplementing what's already there. Just, you know, sometimes you work things out, sometimes others realization, sometimes even you pick up things from the karmis. You know, but that, but it's supplementing what's already there, the main point. But if we're not analyzing through ourselves and we simply to try to refine these things and that we're going straight to the karmis, but then the problem comes is then how do you bring it all the way back because they can't see the connection. And that's where problems will start. You know, if you're doing it because, okay, this is more efficient, it works better for Krishna, great. But then the point comes down is that, you know, what's the attitude, all these things and that, and how are you defining that it's working better for Krishna? What does Krishna actually want from your action? You're saying, you know, this is what he wants, but is that what he says? And if he says like that, then great, that's nicely connected. But if it's not, then, you know, it's this whole thing, oh, we got to be professional. Since when are professionals the epitome? You know? You know, so that's the whole thing. So how do you define professional? And so then it basically comes down to those people who have good knowledge and skills, and they have an attitude that they're the best. Then you can say that's professional. Otherwise, professional simply means you do something really well. So that car mechanic, how he fixed your car, no one else can fix it. You know, you bring in the biggest PhDs, you bring in the biggest, you know, managers or this or that, or world leaders, and give them the car, they can't do it. Because he's the professional. So when we see that it's just being the expert in what you do, or trying to do your best, or that's what you do as you know, that's where your focus is on an activity, you're a professional. You know, so technically, you know, ladies who stay at home and take care of the home and family, they're professionals. But because of not recognizing it, because of such a narrow, narrow vision, then they'll criticize them. When actually they can do that, well, these other, the ladies who criticize the ones at home can't do what those ladies do at home. Literally. I mean, literally. You know? Because the ones that can do it wouldn't criticize because they know how much work it is. But the others take it as like, oh, I'm working so hard, I'm doing all this professional, I'm on the phone, I'm doing this, I got all this and that. Yeah, just try to keep your kid quiet. Because if you want, you can put your phone down. You know, you can't just put the kid down. So that's the thing. It's on their terms. But at home, it's not on your terms. It's on everybody else's terms. You're in control of it, but it's still on their terms. And on the professional side, if they're thinking it's about me, they don't understand, no, it's the laws of nature and how economics or professions work. That you're working according to those laws, but you're totally unaware of that, means they're less conscious. Their consciousness is lower. Because they're working simply with dead matter. While the others are working with living entities, but they're only seeing the dead matter. But at least there's the aspect of relationship and qualities and all that, while the others is simply efficiency. So actually, they're simply on the Anamaya platform. That's why no one likes them. You know what I'm saying? Means, as an individual, they may be great, but if you take middle managers in the corporate world or lawyers, or people don't have it. Just you bring it up, automatically they don't like them. They might like an individual, but just as a group, they don't like them. And then that's how we're going to become popular? The world's going to love us because we're following in the footsteps of people that everybody naturally doesn't like? Right? So, that's the whole point, is why use that? Because at some point you're going to have to give that up. Because it means you know, it's just like, what do you call it? You know, it's like Bharat Maharaj becoming attached to the deer. He already gave up a kingdom, everything like that, and then takes up attachment to a deer. Because it's a nice thing, it's a good thing. Running a kingdom, making protection for all the people, that's not a nice thing. So we have to be very, very careful. So that's why the Acharyas have given this. And we see, as we go through this, there's nothing in here the Prabhupada isn't talking about. He just says it, and the principle of it, very simple, gives nice, simple examples. You know, but those examples, we may say they're very simple, but our devotees able to quote them and use them? Like, you go back in the 70s, they just used those in their preaching. Nowadays, are they using them? The simple things of how we're not the body, and you know, you don't say I body, you say my body. A few do. But it's thought, oh, that's very basic, I'm working on a more advanced level. But the point is no, that's a principle. How well you use it and work it in, that's high level. Sense?
Yeah.
So therefore this becomes very relevant, because here is the philosophy, because you have to apply it. So application means it has to be the culture. It has to be the religion. Because religion is the nature, that's where things get applied. You apply philosophy through nature. You have a philosophy, you're going to apply it. Who are you? You have a nature. You apply that philosophy through your nature. That's why if you don't have religion, you only have philosophy, you'll have speculation. Oh, it could be this, it could be that, or why you're saying this, and why... You know, anybody who's doing something modern and not recommended, oh, why are you so harsh, why are you so like that? But anything that is not being done according to that, if that's their value and you're being philosophical, oh, then that's bad. So it's like we're very broad-minded as long as they're materialistic, but as soon as you get spiritual, then we become very strong. But it's not razor's edge. It just becomes that's where it becomes for them. But it's a common thing. It's not just that. It's just anybody who's moving through these fields, these are the obstacles that come up. So if anyone from any religion, any of that, will have these problems. If you look at every religion, they will always have those who tend towards Sahajiyas, those who tend towards Mayavad. You know, those who tend towards karma, those who tend towards jnana. Those who become too ritualistic, those who are trying to, you know, the rituals don't matter. Every religion, they're all doing that. Why? Because these are the obstacles to pure devotional service. So it's just natural. So it's not a matter of this one or that one or that. No, everybody does. It's a matter of going beyond these and understanding if the goal is Bhagavan, then how to get to that and how to avoid the stumbling blocks of karma and jnana, however they may come up in a very, you know, obvious or a very subtle way. Is that right?
Yeah. Sometimes, like in that episode in Chaitanya Charitamrita that we study, that the Brahman who wrote that poem, he didn't realize that he's doing Mayavad.
Yes.
In his poetry.
Yes.
So sometimes we don't realize it's karma or jnana. We think, oh, this is pure devotional service. Mm-hmm. I'm doing great. Mm-hmm. And then everybody, the difficulty, not that I'm thinking I'm great, but everybody is clapping. Yeah, you're great. You're doing, because everybody supports your karma and jnana. Because if you're doing it, I can do it. And I'm also great, you know.
Yeah, we're all great.
So it's not only that, but we don't understand jnana karma jnana vritta anukulyana, and then it becomes, you know, whatever it becomes, it becomes just official religion. That what happened to everybody.
It all goes like that. And you see is that it's less about God. Like you see, you know, in the Old Testament, all the big personalities are all constantly discussing with God. And it's very up to Moses. Everybody is, and that's what all the discussions are about. But then after that, then it's not so much. You know, they might say, you don't even hear about them going into the tabernacle, right? You know, now and again they might if things get really bad. But otherwise before it was just that's what they would be doing. They would always be in tune. So, like you said, that's what one has to be careful of. So when we say we come ritualistic, it doesn't mean rituals are bad. That's what you have. Everything has a ritual. You know, brushing your teeth is a ritual. Is that bad? Oh, he's so ritualistic, he brushes his teeth every day. Same toothpaste, same toothbrush, same time, for same length of time. You know. So that's the thing. It's not ritual is simply the method that is useful to either directly or supportively directly serve God or to support your serving God. That's all it is. But if you think it's because I've done that, therefore then God has to be happy, then that's where problems start. So we see is what comes in here, the underlying point is that false ego, or we center it on ourselves. We're an individual and we're involved in the process and we're going to see from our perspective, but we have to see our perspective in the context of God's perspective. Right? So when we see like that, you know, how this pleases Krishna and how I can do something in that service, then it becomes dynamic. So that's the thing, is the individual and Krishna, you know, who's everything, that the two work together. So generally we want to emphasize this or that. If there's any problem in one, we overemphasize the other. You know, it's like, I don't know, you have it in English, you have the pendulum swing. Yeah. You know, it's like that, you know, so if it's over here, oh yeah, then you have to swing it all the way back. Well, just no, like that, you forcefully, you know, like that, you know, some kind of, you know, very, you know, dramatic kind of thing has to be done. But the point is if it's over here, grab it and then bring it here, and so it stops. And when it's in the middle, then it's perfect. But it's a matter of, you know, no, it goes there, and then no, we have to bring it back. No, we have to bring it back. And so what it is that, you know, you just have that. The one side will drag it as far as they can and get away with, and because it doesn't work, people will complain, so next time they'll vote for the people that are on the other side. And they'll drag everything back this way and take it as far as they can and break down everything that the other guys did. You know, even if anything was of value. And then as soon as they get it too far that way, then people start complaining again. So then again, and people are so foolish they don't see it. Yes?
It's like you mentioned during Srila Prabhupada's time. Srila Prabhupada could balance everything in the society within like a nanosecond.
Yes.
And the beauty of that those who don't agree just had to leave. They just couldn't stay with their own opinion or act on their opinion.
Yeah.
But nowadays we don't have that balance. So now we have groups, and then within the groups we have, you know, subgroups, and the diversity portion of the philosophy we actually, you know, almost perfect now. but the unity, where is the unity?
Yeah.
So it came to my mind that if we, like you explaining, we have to constantly balance the swing.
Mm-hmm.
But if we studied Nyaya and hermeneutics,
mm-hmm.
like a basic course for everybody, mm-hmm. like a part of the Bhakta program, that would help us to define the terms,
mm-hmm.
and define the explanation, how we explain, what is the principle and what are the details.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go into Bhagavatam, then we can actually discuss Bhagavatam instead of trying to balance the whole issues. Those are constantly, you know, popping up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's natural, these things are there and they're discussed and all that. So that's in that way, that's, it's nice that they're there. But it should be being discussed that these are ways that one can get distracted, or people are already distracted, rather than we're arguing them because we think that they're actually the process. You know, when we think that a deviation is the process, then we have a problem. You know, that's what I say. And generally speaking, because you're dealing in the modern world, which means the Western world, which means non-Vedic, and because it's also a secular society, so they want to make it where everyone will be pleased. It has to be secular. That's what's not caught. I mean, so if you're religious, that's to an individual, maybe great large group of those individuals, but it has to be to the individuals by the Western method. And so when you say something's liberal, it has to be secular. But in the Vedic, liberal's not secular. Liberal means you can see God consciousness in a broad-minded way to be inclusive, how everybody can be involved at their level. But the point is they're involved at their level, not at the same level. So that's the thing, is that it's personal. So we say everybody's involved at their level. Then it's about each individual, how, where they are, they can start there and move up from there and connect to Krishna. And eventually everyone comes to the same absolute transcendental platform. But the difficulty will be is then those who are so-called liberal, a mundane liberal, will say that's discrimination. And then it's discrimination, you have to make everybody the same. But that's impersonal. That means you're not being individual. So that's the fun part. Maya is so clever that the people who are saying equality and non-discrimination, they're actually totally impersonalists. Well, the people who make these distinctions, it's personal. It may be impious, but it's personal. Like, I remember there was this one, it was somebody, I think it was in the beginning of, may have been, you know, how you say, going back, I think the beginning of when the, you know, how you say, in the relay war of Afghanistan, you know, when Russia went out.
Soviets.
Yeah, the Soviets handed the baton to the Americans, and then they took it up, you know, and all that. So I don't know, you know, so much what happened on the Soviet side. So then I think they had a prison in which these kind of people were there, terrorists in general. And there was some guy who was, you know, a really bad guy. You know, blow up places, blow up kids, women. You know, that kind of guy. And so he's in this super high security thing, and he's there, and all that. And one day, I think they had a new, you know, somebody, I guess in the rotation or something of the guards, there's somebody that hadn't been the guard for him. And so they bring in the food, you know. So I think it's that, you know, there's guards there, they open the door, he walks in with the food, he puts it down, you know, the guys are there with guns, he walks out and they close the door. So when he walked in, he put the plate, you know, it's a stainless steel plate, and in at least American places, they have these stainless steel toilets. They have no seat or anything. They're just, you know, something that you can't rip off the wall and can't break. He comes in and very forcefully puts it down on top of that, and then goes to walk out. And then the guy, the terrorist guy, he says, "You're the first one I can relate to." He says, "You're personal. You, as a person, don't like me as a person. Everybody else here is impersonal. I don't understand that." You know, because, you know, he's from Asian background, so there's going to be, it's all personal, you know. You know, there's wars between the families. It's personal, you know. Yes, like that, yeah. And that. So he said, "I can relate to you. You know, you don't like me for what I like this, and you're showing it as a personal." The other guys just do everything officially. So that's the whole thing, is that while he'll be considered to be, you know, in that way bad, but he's personal. It may be an impious personal, but at least it's personal. And from impious personal, you can make it to pious personal. But when it's, it may be seemingly pious, the impersonal, it's harder. Impersonalism is harder to get rid of. Prabhupada, one lecturer was saying that if someone gets into the Mayavada philosophy, it takes them millions of lifetimes to get out of it. We even had, I think someone was telling, I think it was somebody maybe last year or something, they were talking with somebody. Either they were talking to the person, or they were talking to someone who would talk to the person. And someone in South, big Mayavada, like that. And he was somehow or another appreciated what the devotees were doing. you know, from the, you know, the religious side and all that, and he was coming and this and that. So he was quite supportive. And they asked him about, you know, being devotional, and he says, I'd like to, but I can't. He says, once you get into this Mayavada philosophy, it takes you, you know, I think he maybe said thousands of lifetimes to get out of it. So as an impersonalist, he knew how difficult it is to get out. You know? So that's the thing, is when Prabhupada's not saying, you know, he's preaching in the West that's full of, you know, how you say, you know, impious behavior and they're, you know, filthy pigs. You know, he doesn't use that one. He says impersonalists and voidists. That's the problem. So the difficulty comes up is that Krishna is a person. He likes it this way. You know, why don't people want to cook what Krishna likes to eat? As a person. Means he, as a Lord, the important thing is devotion, so whatever you offer with devotion, then he's happy with that. But there's also the point of he is a person, eats a particular kind of cooking. You know, and then you have any regional things. It's not like you, like the devotees talk about, okay, we're Italian. What Italian are they offering to Krishna?
Pizza.
Right? Lasagna, spaghetti or some pasta. But there's over 100 different sauces that Italians make. Are they offering any of those?
Ketchup.
Huh?
Ketchup.
Ketchup, yes.
It's all inclusive.
Or spaghetti for this. Ketchup. Yeah. Okay.
Ketchup from pizza. I've seen them.
Yeah.
Here.
Oh, that's here. When you go to there, they have ketchup and they have mustard. Someone put mustard. You got to get some heat, some flavor. You know? So then, and chili sauce, chili oil. So the point is no one's going into all that. So it is according to what Rupa Goswami is saying that local specialties you can offer. Each cuisine has a few specialties, and when you think of, oh, we're just, you know, modern and international, they're only talking about the specialties. They're not talking about the cuisine. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like Mexicans, beans and rice, like that. Or they might make a tortilla, means it's just a chapati and beans. You know, there might be some vegetables in that, or something on the side, or, you know, some steamed tapioca, or, you know, some yams, or like this. But nobody cares about that. Oh, why do you offer that to Krishna? It's Mexican. No, I am. So it's specialty items. So the specialty items from around the world that you've been exposed to that you like, that's what we're talking about. So that's all right to offer Krishna. It's specialty. But the point is it's the devotion. You know that, you like that, it's right, you want to do something, so you do. Nice, fine. But at the same time is, there is what Krishna eats. You know, you see what Mother Jashoda cooks, you know, and what Sachi Mata cooks, you know, Raghava Pandit, what he cooks, or you go to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, or you go to Advaitacharya's house, and you see, you know, how Lord Chaitanya eats. And so that aspect is there. But that's not the consideration. And it's, I don't know these things, so I just do what I can, I try to do it the book. That's fine. But to say, no, we're Westerners, we have to eat this, is like, so you're a Westerner. Why are you eating Mexican? Because according to Westerners, Mexican is not Western.
Yeah.
It's not. Western means America, you can kind of count Canada here from that side, England, continental Europe, like that, and however far that culture is, that's Western. So if in South America or in China or in Africa they're following that culture, then that's Western. But it's not about local regional cultures. It's not even about regional American or English or that, because if you pull out some of that stuff, people don't like that either. You know, like a lot of people in the southern part of America eat gumbo. It's like a soup, and it's like a minestrone, but it's got the, what do you call it? You know, lady fingers, bendy in it. So it's kind of got that slippery, slimy kind of thing. They put chilies. These are regional things. You know, other part, they do other stuff. You know, so some things people like. You know, like people like the, what do you call it? Maple syrup. you know, it's a regional thing. It's just that northern, northeastern part of America and southeastern part of Canada. That's where they have the trees, it grows there, they make it, that's where it comes from. And from there it's shipped all over the world. People like that, so it becomes popular. So that's the whole thing, is we have to accept Rupa Goswami has already encountered that. So why the fight? You know, oh, we're Westerners. It's like, you don't eat Western food. You know? Are they sitting down and eating, you know, okay, Western from Europe, are you eating a proper European meal? Starting off with your soup and your salad and your things and then like this and sitting there and you got all your, you know, your different drinks and the whole thing and the whole mood. Are you doing that? No, they're taking something and throwing it in the microwave and curry ball. You know? Does that make sense? So they should just say, no, I can't relate to it as an individual because I've grown up in a, you know, a non-Vedic environment. So what, you know, my mom used to cook or what things I used to like as a teenager, then that's going to, that's my food. But don't try to say it's more Westerners. So because there's a good chance that half of your neighborhood was not from Europe. Or if they were, they were from a different place than you were. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that we present it as if it's something very pious when it's not actually pious, because real piety means it's for Krishna's pleasure. Secondary piety means it's according to Shastra and we're inspired to perform the appropriate, proper or recommended activities because the benefit I'll get is as an individual. Right? It's like that. These, you can say, are recommended. One's direct, the other's indirect. But then we're working on thinking, no, my community says this. But in the same place, the same land, the same streets, going to the same, you know, how you say, stores and all that, are people who don't say that, and they oppose that. So that makes sense. You know, so that's the difficulty. It's all going on. So, therefore, if we want to talk universal, the only thing that's universal is Krishna consciousness. And the formula that it's using, the Vedic formula, then that's going to be the most universal. The maximum people can do that. Does that make sense? Like everybody, anywhere, basically anywhere where anybody's living, there's water, right? But anywhere where people are living, is there toilet paper? No, you have to go out of your way, you have to manufacture it. Water's already there. So, therefore, using water after you use the toilet is universal. Using toilet paper is regional. And if you go back, you know, 50 years or 80 years like that, only Europe and America and some few places like that used toilet paper. Everywhere else, no one used. Everyone used water. Even in parts of Europe. Like in Finland, if you go in, you go into the public toilets, you see at the very end, there's one stall that has a sprayer and a sink and everything in it, because a lot of Finns, they still, that's their standard. You know, their parents, that was the standard, but for them nowadays, some follow something. So that's the thing, is that it's spoken as if it's not universal, but they're trying to speak on the platform of these kind of like social platitudes that are supposed to be something glorious, something pious, something attractive. But unfortunately, people will speak according to their conditioning. And so what is good for them? I guess I was waving my arms enough. The thing says, great workout. Great workout. That's always so funny. I think when I was doing the yoga, because you're always doing like this, you know, with your arm, you're saying, yeah, great, and it's counting it as a workout, you know, wow, you burned already 49 calories, you know, it's like, okay. Yeah, so that's the thing, is what Prabhupada's given, what the acharyas, what Krishna, that's universal. Then it's a matter of finding how to apply it to the individual. And so the difficulty with that means you have to have some maturity, you have to be thoughtful, you have to be aware, you have to be conscious, and then you can show each individual how they'll apply it. It's much easier if you just make it across the board. But you don't want to lose that it's individual and everything like that, and it's personal and all that. So you'll just say, my idea of across the board, that is personal, and that is that. And any other kind of, oh, you're saying that, everything, that won't apply, this and that. But my idea of what everyone should do, that's universal. But the point is, no, only Krishna's universal. So that's the thing, is personal means more work. Impersonal, that's the easy path. You know, it's just like in the corporate world, you know, everybody's just a cog in the machinery. You just deal with them like that. Then they make good money that way. And so therefore, it's very rare you'll see, you know, some article come up about some, you know, some guy who, some CEO, he owns the company like that, something like that. And he's doing very well, but, you know, he treats all his people very individual, takes care of this and that, does all that. But you only see, you know, now and again, you know, once a year, once every couple of years, an article come up about a guy like that. They do fine. It's more work. That's the thing. It's more work. And maybe you can't get as big as these other guys, but, you know, at what point does it matter? You know what I'm saying?
After 1 billion, it doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't. You know? And even that means you can buy the biggest things you can get. Like, so this thing just has, how do you tell the difference between a millionaire and a billionaire? And they're showing a picture of a big yacht. You know? One of those big fancy ones with all the things, and, you know, like maybe the helicopter back. And then they kind of pan, and it's like this high, you know, it's sticking up, you know, everything else in the marina is small. And then they pan across, and then you have to go up to see the bow of this thing. You know, it's just a ship. So that's the billionaire. But I mean, you know.
Then they go in this Rabinovich one.
Hmm?
The Abramovich one.
Yes. This one Russian oligarch.
Oh, it may have been. It may have been.
The third one, because you can't see.
Oh, yeah, you can't even see it. It's like, you can't get it in the camera. You can't get that far enough. Yeah. Yeah, so it's just nice. You know, if they need, if they live there, you know, if they use it. But the point is, as far as most people are concerned, it doesn't matter. So if by dealing in a personal way and dealing with your company properly, you get that much money, then great, spend it. But if you have to lose the personal dealings to get there, then what's the gain? You know, like Yudhishthira would deal very personally. He was emperor of the world. You know, that makes sense. You know, Duryodhana wasn't very personal. He took over, but no one really accepted his position, and he lost it. Yeah. So that's the idea, is this is a value. These things are there. If it's not your inclination to study to this technical detail, it's not a problem. But one should be studying Gita, Nectar Devotion, Upanishadamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, Krishna book, whatever Prabhupada's given. That should be studied. That should be read. Then trying to hear. Just you know, and how much you can absorb and all, that's fine. Just expose yourself to it. That's the whole point. If you're there, just like if you're out in the sun, you become tanned. Not that you're doing anything. So if you're the sun of the Bhagavatam, mm-hmm. then you become, you know, purified. And then these others, Prabhupada mentions these other works. If you can work with them, then nice. So it's not that, oh, we don't do those things, or, no, oh, this is the philosophy, and Prabhupada's not really giving, he's giving the bank. These are all wrong attitudes. You know? So the whole point is you study what you can. And the thing is the key in it, you know, from what we saw from the thing, is the humility. Because the main problem when it goes wrong, in all the examples that were given, is pride comes up. You know, we're professional, we're managers, we're scholars, we're official, we're like that. And then it becomes an identity. Because that's the thing, it's not an identity. One may, for Yudhishthira, they follow the duties of the Kshatriyas, but it's not an identity. That's the whole thing.
It's obvious in Queen Kunti's prayers.
Yeah.
She first addresses them as devotees, mm-hmm. and then as her relatives.
Yes.
Yeah, and in that order.
Yes, and at the end asks that she gives up the concept that they're her relatives. You know, that doesn't mean she won't deal and deal very nicely and everything, because that's the thing, when you're detached. See, in the Vedic platform, when you're detached, you can work better with it because you have duties. The modern, when you're detached, you work worse with it because you don't have the sense of obligation. That's the thing. So if you emphasize people's obligation, it means you have your obligation to the Supreme Lord, and then while you're here, you deal with all those obligations. Then you'll get the social system to work. But if we simply talk about people's rights, you cannot establish anything based on that. Otherwise it is. Why is it in the last... was it the 60s they were making the big stink about all everyone's rights and all that? You know, from that, the things that are going on now are the same things that were discussed in the 60s. There's nothing new. You know, sugar's still bad, you know, like that, you know, everyone's equal, you know, this, that, and that. Even though things have improved so much, it's still, it's terrible, you know, it's like Nazis or, you know, Auschwitz or, you know, something like that, you know, and it's like everything's, you know, like 10 times better than it was back in the 60s, but it's still, because it's self-centered, until everything works the way I want, it won't be perfect, and the problems of the material world, you can never actually get, you will never be satisfied, even if you get what you want. So that's the point, is you can't be satisfied, so that means there is no end. There is no end. So it's fruitless to go that way. So one has to appreciate is that we don't have an idea. We identify as devotees, but at the same time we know our conditioning, so we engage that in Krishna's service. It's just like Mother Jashoda. She acts according to her rati. She doesn't decide, well, today I'm going to go out with the cowherd boys, and you know that looks like fun what they're doing. No, she doesn't. Just like the cowherd boys, they don't wrestle and play in Mother Jashoda's house. They follow the etiquettes there. So that's the thing, is that that's just natural how relationships work. We're not looking at relationships. You know, we're looking at some other benefit. Then, you know, if it's just, I'm looking at efficiency, you know, knowledge, skill, and my benefits, that's anamoyan. And that's describing your modern, professional, you know, kind of corporate scene. You know? Yes.
Yeah, I've noticed that the impersonal gives almost immediate result when you deal with everybody impersonal.
Yeah.
But then relationship, it gives result, but much later.
Yes.
And then my personal observation is that relationship, you know, with those who really want to develop relationship, like with seniors and, you know, mm-hmm. with people that you respect, it takes around 12 years mm-hmm. that they bring you a little closer.
Mm-hmm.
So that investment will work, but in the long run, in the shreyas. Mm-hmm. But if you want shreyas, then deal in personal, and then, you know, immediate results are there. You can enjoy, and everybody glorifies you for the mm-hmm. for the immediate result.
Yes,
but
yes.
Relationship is
it's gone.
Yeah,
yeah. And by the same time, it's also it's transient. So it's like today you're the item, and then after some time you're not anymore.
Yeah.
You know, people are just so big, and suddenly you just don't hear them anymore, just like that. You know? Yeah. So it's. Because that's the mode of passion is immediate. So the reason the impersonal is unit is because it's the effectiveness of the results you get. It's about me getting results. I'm efficient at getting results. Which is nice if you can engage that Krishna service, but one has to give up that pride that I'm the doer. Because ultimately, if you're getting good results, you always get good results, you know, just on the material platform. That just is coming from previous karma. you've dealt properly with the rules and regulations, you've dealt properly with the attitudes, so now you're getting the results of that. But if you don't continue using it with the proper attitude and knowledge, then you'll lose it. You know? That's all. It's Krishna's. You know, because Krishna sees, we can see. That's why it says in the universal form. First he desired to see, so then with that then came fire, came form, you know, like that. That's there, and then is there. Then we can see, because he's seeing, we can see. Like that. But we're thinking, no, I'm doing all this thing. It's because of me it's happening. So then it's a weak position. And it will always, because that has to go at some point. Even if you are a fabulous manager and you're doing everything great, it doesn't mean it will work. Because if it's done with you know, Prajumna is the attitude. So if you perform the Avideya with attitude, it won't give you won't get the proper taste of the result. So even though you physically got the result, no one will like it. You won't be satisfied because Krishna's not satisfied. So that's the whole thing. Is the attitude is what's you have knowledge and skill, and where's the attitude? Right? You have knowledge and skills are actually on one platform, right? Then qualities is in the next platform, and then devotion is in the top position, right? So if we're taking that the middle of the Avideya instead of being qualities, because point is you say qualities, but it's qualities that you use. Like something's big, so therefore that will define how it's used. Something small, it defines how it's used. Right? In other words, what's the point of something being big or small unless it's going to have some relationship to an application? You know, the box is big, so then the application will be different than if the box is small. So that's the thing, that's not caught. It's thought that you have the knowledge, that's there. The skill is the application. No, the skill is you have knowledge and you can practically apply that knowledge. That's still the sambandha. Now, how are you going to apply it? That's depending on your qualities, your attitude. And why are you going to apply it? That's because you want to please Krishna, the devotion. So if you have an educational process that's knowledge, skills, and values, it doesn't get past pranamoya on a good day. It doesn't even, devotional is not part of the philosophy. Literally. No? So that's the problem. It's that it's explained, but that's all this comes. So now if you define the values mean Krishna consciousness, okay. And the skill means you have, it's the applying that knowledge with the proper devotional attitude, the proper recommended moods and that, and qualities that are recommended, okay. But if you don't define it, knowledge means that it's based on how it's useful in Krishna service. Then it's all right, but then you have to define that. But if you say knowledge, skills, you know, qualities are attitude and devotion, it doesn't need that supporting definition. So that's the difficulty. They've taken a skill as the Avideya, but it's actually the attitude's the Avideya. Okay, then. From Srimad Bhagavatam. After Garbhodaksha Vishnu lay on the water and went into trance, Brahma, Lord of the universal creation, appeared from the lotus in the water of his navel. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.2. This refers to the Purusha form who lies in the Garbhodak ocean in a sleeping condition during destruction after the day of Brahma. The expanse of planets is imagined to be situated in various places on his limbs. This form of the Lord is pure sattva, unmixed with rajas and tamas, and is composed of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. 1.3.3 Udriti, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. That Purusha, Mahavishnu, entering into each universe situated in his hair holes, lay down on the Garbhodak ocean, which he created there, and went into a state of trance, yoga nidra. The planets from Patala to Satyaloka, Loka Vistara, are imagined to be situated at particular places on his limbs. Avaya samsthanahi. This form is Padmanabha, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, a portion of Prachumna. The form mentioned in the previous chapter, Hari Virincha Hareti Samya, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.23, refers to the third Purusha, Kirudakshai, an expansion of Aniruddha. The first form, Mahavishnu, is the inner soul of Prakriti. The second form, Garbhodakshai, is the inner soul of the collective jivas in each universe. The third form, Kirudakshai, is the inner soul of each jiva. Right, so then we have the inner soul of Prakriti is the whole, you know, material consciousness, the whole that. Then you're going to have inner soul of collective jivas. So you have to have facility that all the jivas, then they can all function together, in, you know, themselves. But that means that each jiva is governed by Kirudaksha, who's the inner soul of each jiva. So that, yeah, the three purushas. The three acting as inner souls are expansions of Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. It is said, Ekam tu mahat mahatash shrashtri tritiyam tvanda samshtitam tritiyam sarva bhutastam tani yatva vimuchate. The first is the creator of Mahatattva. The second form is situated in the universe. The third form is situated in all living entities. One who knows these forms is liberated, Satvata, Tantra. This is the order of the active. So all this knowledge, we were saying before, is its value is that the preliminary aspect of it, the sign is that you become freed from material contamination. You're on the spiritual platform. You still have to cultivate devotion and that. But at point it situates you on the spiritual platform as opposed to the modes of ignorance and passion which situate you here. So by understanding these things, you have the advantage that you can function on the spiritual platform, not on the material platform. And then on the spiritual platform, if it's, you know, learned in this way, then it becomes much easier to give up anartas as they're appreciated. You know, that, oh, here's an anarta. You know, I can give, you know, how to work on that. At least you can start. Because the point is technically, if we say, oh, you have to control your senses, what it means is you have to appreciate that the senses being controlled is actually of value and importance in Krishna consciousness because it pleases Krishna. That's what it means to control your senses. And so you want to control your senses because it pleases Krishna. But the actual control of the senses, that's coming from Krishna. He controls the senses, because he is the Rishikesha. So when we surrender to Krishna, therefore that all becomes taken care of. That's why it's said, if we surrender, then all these things get taken care of. Yeah? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.